So the great question series today, why are church people so weird? Did that title surprise you when you came in? Well, let me just tell you, for those of you who are guests here, I want to explain, if there are any weird church people at Summit, it's because they have to hang around me. That's the problem there. I've been so blessed in recent years to be able to worship in other church settings that have really given me a picture of what it means to be the church, the universal church of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you some of these picture settings. The first is a church gathering in South Sudan. And how did they gather? Well, I was riding my bicycle through the area, heard a horn begin to blow, and that was the call to worship. People came from everywhere, and this is their church setting. This is where they meet. If you can look very close to the tree where the guy is speaking, right behind his head, can you see the cross? The emblem in the tree, that's where the church meets and gathers in South Sudan. Then let's go to the other country just north of there, North Sudan. And here is a picture of men and women and children who are meeting together in a displacement camp. Some of them have been forced out of their areas because of violence and fighting between the countries. They tried to come to a peaceful area. And here there's actually a roof over the heads of these people. There are no sidewalls. People can just walk in from anywhere. And you'll notice the new Bibles that we were able to provide for them so they can have the Word of God in their heart language. Many of them couldn't afford to do that without the help of people like you who just did that as we helped another group in that area. Here's a third picture in Indonesia. A church plant, a brand new church. As you come in, there are no seats. You sit on the floor. And in their culture, the men sit on one side of the room, the ladies sit on the other. This guitarist, I guess because he plays, he can sit with the women. I don't know. He got to be with the ladies over there. The next location, also in Asia, the jungles of Kalimantan. We traveled a long way to get to this place. It had been 4 decades since people in this area had seen any Caucasians come their way. They actually do have a place to meet. And here, since we were there, they got their children out to sing a song for us. And you'll notice, they don't have shoes. Everybody leaves their shoes at the door. My favorite place to preach in the world is without shoes in Indonesia. You guys couldn't put up with that here. I'm sorry. You'd probably all leave the room. But it's beautiful. And here, in these pictures, are the two foundational principles of the church, including us today. In a third continent, a different area, there are two things that we need to be following and committed to, and we just heard those in JJ's reading in that classic passage in Matthew chapter 16. Here's what we need to know about the church. The church equals people. It's not a building. It's not a program. It's not putting on a show. It's people. People who have made commitments to follow Jesus Christ. If you've done that, you are a part of the church. The church of Jesus Christ. But here's a sad fact about the church today. There are some weird things that go on. We need to be able to recognize them. We actually see examples of that in the New Testament. The New Testament church had some real challenges. Let's look at some of those categories. Unfortunately, some church people are not genuine believers. People can be church members. They can be church attendees. They can go through programs. They can do all kinds of external things and still not be authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of these tough categories. The first category is some church people sin and then flaunt it. They don't just mess up, which I'll talk about later. We all do. we are all under construction. But when they do, some actually brag about it. They flaunt it. Some sin and continue to. And it doesn't even matter to them. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 about the church in Corinth. The first two verses. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. And notice this next sentence. And you are proud. They sin, and then instead of admitting it, being under conviction, turning away from it, they flaunt it. You see, genuine believers, when we sin, it hurts us. And we don't like it. And we are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit because He will remind us that we have sinned. We won't boast about it. We won't brag about it. We will admit it. We will be under the conviction of the Spirit. And then we will seek to repent. Yet there are some people in the Corinthian church who sin and then are proud of it. Folks, that's going to continue, the Bible says. It's not just in the church of Corinth, but it's also in today's church. It's not going to stop, but we need to try to avoid it. There are some who are connected with the church who are judgmental. That's also a problem. That's why sometimes there are challenges in the church. Some judge other people. And we need to make sure that we avoid that as well. We read about that in Matthew 7. Jesus is speaking here. I want you to see the context of the first five verses of that chapter. Listen to what Jesus says. Do not judge. It can't be more clear than that, can it? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? It's very interesting. At this moment in Jewish culture, humor is used with exaggeration. And so when the people are listening to what Jesus says here, a lot of them would just burst out laughing at the thought of that. A piece of dust in my eye or in somebody else's eye and a board in my eye. They would just start laughing because that would sound so ridiculous. Jesus goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And look at these words from Jesus Christ. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What do we do then when we see other people struggling? Other people around us, maybe they've messed up. Maybe they've messed up in a big way. What do? We go to them in love and with love. We don't go to others and talk about them. We don't judge them in our spirit. We don't criticize them. We go in love. And as we go, we don't put on this air of spiritual superiority like we have it all together. Because if we're honest, we don't have it all together. And we are broken as they are. Some church people, I just want you to know, if you're not really connected to church, maybe you're a guest here today, sometimes in the church, they are so insecure about their own relationships with God that somehow they need to try to put others down so they can make themselves look better. We just need to be aware of that. In order to help their own self-esteem, they try to put others down. They try to be right, quote, unquote, and act superior to others. Hey, if you have had church people judge you, criticize you, maybe even condemn you, pray for them, would you? They really need your prayers. They need your grace. They may be struggling with their own relationship with Jesus Christ. And they may need somebody like you to step in. And if you ever experienced this, if you've ever been judged by somebody else, then here's what you can take with you. It happened to Jesus. You know, people judged Jesus Christ, the only perfect one who has ever lived. So if you've ever had that happen, then you can draw close to Jesus. He understands, and you can know what He went through. And as you go to others, and we are commanded to do that, by the way, just remember, you're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has probably gone ahead of you, and He's already working in the lives of those people. Just take a genuine interest in their well-being. Care enough to go. Maybe they just need somebody to listen to them. And as a representative of God, you have the opportunity to show them that God cares for them. That not only do you love them, but He loves them as well. If that person is a believer, the Holy Spirit has already been there ahead of you to prepare that heart. And if that person is not a follower of Christ yet, the Holy Spirit has also been there, trying to speak to him or her to draw them into a relationship with Him. Maybe God will use you as His representative if we will go with grace and make sure that we are not being judgmental. Unfortunately, there's another category of church people, and Jesus referred to this earlier. Do you realize some church people are hypocrites? Some church people are two-faced, and it's intentional. They are trying to do it. Look at Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you. Who's he speaking to? Teachers of the law and Pharisees. These are the church people of that day. He says, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a fake. It is an intentional, two-faced existence. They're trying to do it, and they are playing spiritual games. I'm sad to tell you, it happens in churches. The key is we need to make sure that we don't judge them. Don't judge the judgmental. Don't judge the hypocrites. And here's something else that we need to know about church people who are genuine believers. This is the key. All of us who are genuine, authentic followers of Christ are under construction. We all have faults. We all fail. I want you to hear the words of a super follower of Christ in the New Testament. And they're showed to us in 1 Timothy 1 and Romans 7. Let's look first at what Paul says about himself in 1 Timothy 1. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And look at that next phrase. Of whom I am the worst. This is what Paul says about himself. This is the fantastic spiritual leader Paul saying that. He confesses that he has a lot of shortcomings. He's far from perfect. He calls himself the worst of sinners. I don't know about you, but the longer I follow Christ, the more I realize there are changes that need to be made in my life. They never stop. I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father didn't shower them all on me when I first became a believer, because I would have been so overwhelmed I might have given up. But He's still working on me, and He's still working on all of us. Listen to Romans 7, verses 18 and 19. Again, the words of Paul. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Paul realizes that he has to lean 100% upon the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to find victory, my friends. It's not when we try to do it ourselves, because we will fall short. Paul is under construction. So if you are like me with him, you're in pretty good company. Don't feel bad about yourself. Just continue to grow. So what does that mean that we should do? What should we do? Here's our focus. Please hear this. Our focus is 100% upon Jesus Christ and not on any living human being on this planet. People will let us down. I hear some people talk about church and they'll say, yeah, I go to so-and-so's church. Talking about usually the lead pastor or the senior pastor. We should never say that about the church. It's never a person's church. Don't be distracted by people. People will let us down. They will fail. People can't save us. People cannot empower us. And here's what I'd love to invite you to do. If somewhere along the way you've had some church people really let you down, don't be distracted away from Jesus Christ because of the failure of people. Please look to Him. I'm going to tell you, He will never let you down. Don't let the failures of people be an excuse to keep you from following Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about my early story as a Christ follower. God began to call me to full-time ministry, just as He is calling every single one of you to full-time ministry. Every single one of you who follows Christ is invited to full-time ministry. It could be as a mother, a father, a teacher, a physicist, a laborer, a salesman. It doesn't matter. That's still full-time ministry. Don't decategorize them. They're all special callings. He has one for you. For me, He was pointing me to the church. And remember, I grew up as an unreached, unchurched American. And so about 3 years into my spiritual journey, when I began to sense that God was inviting me to the equipping ministry of the church, I said, well, I better find out what it's all about. I hadn't been. I started going a little bit as a new believer, but I had never been really connected with the church. And so after my freshman year of college, I went to work as a summer youth director for a church. And for the first time, I got to get into the church and see what was happening. And just to be very transparent with you, I was surprised at some of the things I saw. I would see parents who seemed to care more about whether their child got all the attention rather than all the children getting all the attention. As long as their kid was okay, everything was perfect. And then I would go in and sit into our worship gathering times, and I would kind of look around. And by the way, we just don't need to do that. I'm sharing my mistakes with you. When you worship, you don't need to look around at other people. That just does not matter. But what surprised me, I was very excited about my faith. I was a new believer, and I saw what looked like people going through the motions and kind of sitting on their hands and kind of tending to kind of check it off the list. And so after 10 weeks of that experience, I went back to college, and I just remember speaking this statement to God. I said, God, I know one thing. I will never work in the church. Talk about famous last words. And then God spoke to me. He said, Scott, I want you to look in the spiritual mirror, and I want you to see yourself. Because you have a lot of imperfections that need some changes and need some work. You don't need to be looking at others. Why don't you just go ahead and look at your own life? And by the way, God is still inviting me to look in the spiritual mirror all the time. There's still work that He's trying to do in my life. Along the way, it's very possible for there to be a ton of self-centered church people. But our focus is not there. The Holy Spirit will remind all of us that He is still working on us. Let Him do that work. And it's during that time, if and when others let us down, that Jesus Christ becomes even more precious and more special to all of us. Look to Him. He is the key, because He will never let you down. And that leads to the second foundational truth of the church. The first, the church equals people, not buildings, not programs, not shows, but people. Who's the leader? Jesus Christ is the leader of the church. If we'll remember that, it's all about Him. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 16, "And on this rock I will build my church." The church belongs to Jesus Christ. And if you and I are to be faithful in that, here's what we're all invited to do. To worship Jesus Christ as a lifestyle. It's life. It's not an event on Sunday morning. Worship does not equal music. Does it include music? Sure. But worship should be a lifestyle. And that's what I'm inviting all of us to do today and every day. John 4, 23 and 24 should be the foundation of that. I love these verses. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Think about that. God is searching out people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for people who are after Him. That's what worship means. It is a lifestyle of putting Him first in life as we go through life. It's a 24/7 proposition and lifestyle. It's not just an event on Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here today. We're gathering together, and I just pray that you will be encouraged in our time together. But let me just tell you this, if this is all your worship all week long, you are spiritually in debt, because it's not enough. You see, my dream for all of us is that we will worship Christ as much on Friday night as we do here on Sunday morning. Monday morning on the workplace or at school, as we do when we gather together as a body. Because what happens when we do that? Then when we come together, there is an overflow of that worship. And we can all gain from each other. We can encourage one another. We can move together as a body. And here's what happens. Our gathering times will be a time to give. You know, the church shopper's mentality is, hey, what church can I go to and get the most out of it? That is such a self-centered way to live. What if we would say, hey, God's inviting me to come here because He wants me to give, to serve, to love, to help others. It's not about us, is it? When we worship, it's about Christ. It's about putting Him on His throne. It's about honoring and exalting Him. And when we do that, when we worship together, when we reach up, God is going to remind us to reach in a different direction. He is going to remind us to reach out in service. To reach out as a lifestyle. Worship as a lifestyle, and then reach out as a lifestyle. Before we become followers of Christ, our spiritual DNA is self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about what can I get out of life. We live for our own benefit. We pursue our own self-centered goals. That's the essence of the sin nature that Paul just described in the words that I read earlier. But after we give our lives to Christ, there's a change, a transformation. Our spiritual DNA turns outward. And we look to ways that we can give and serve and help others. Basically, the philosophy of life of the Christ follower is, I live to give. That's how we are wired through the Spirit. The church does not exist for itself. The church exists for people that aren't here yet. Do you realize that? we need to look out to the people who are not yet followers of Christ, to the disengaged, to the hurting. This is exactly what the New Testament church did. Notice the foundational principles in Acts 2, verses 44 and following. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Why did they go there? That's where anybody could go and hang out. They gave up their privileges and rights to go there to minister. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Live to give, Christ follower. My wife and I were out of town this past week, and we were having some time with our daughter. And one day I was out walking her dog, a beautiful golden retriever. And the most interesting thing happened. We were walking, and this stray dog with no leash, no connection to a home, seemingly, just came flying out of the blue, running towards us, and was so full of life and energy, was just bouncing back and forth, running at Belle, our golden, and then would run away. And I thought that would last for a few seconds. A half mile later, the dog was still running around. And we were walking, and I was thinking, whose dog is this? And I was beginning to feel bad that maybe it was lost and didn't have a leash on it, didn't have a tag or anything. And the most interesting thing happened. About three quarters of a mile away, a lady had driven up in her vehicle, had two kids. I would guess she was 30 years old, maybe, with two preschoolers. And she got out, she greeted some friends, and I heard her talking about how she had come to the community to look for a home to buy. She didn't even live in the community, but she came there. She saw the dog running around. She went up to it, kind of calmed it down, actually took out a leash, put it on the dog, and then I kept walking. Several streets later, I saw her walking down the road with her kids. She was going house to house. She said, "Do you happen to know whose dog this is?" And I said, "No, it just came running at us and just followed us for three quarters of a mile." And she said, "Well, I'm just really concerned that it's going to get hurt or that it's lost." And she interrupted her schedule, stopped doing what she wanted to do, and decided she was going to save this runaway animal and find its home. I began to think about that. How many of us would allow our schedules to be interrupted for people who are lost and hurting? People who are disengaged. People who seem like they're doing fine, but deep down, they're struggling. How many of us would be willing to give our time and our talents and our energy for that cause as a lifestyle that we would live to give to others? Would you be willing to be that kind of Christ follower? That really spoke to me and challenged me about my priorities. Imagine a person getting so sick that he or she had to go to the hospital. And you've heard this story before. And then when they get there, they look around and they notice that there are a lot of sick people there. Yeah, it's a hospital. What if he said, "Hey, you know, I don't want to come here. Everyone is sick." We should realize, yeah, that's what hospitals are for. Sick people. My friends, that's what the church is. The church is a place for spiritually sick people. If you're there, you're welcome. Because we all are broken. And we all need a Savior. And we all need His grace. And we all need His power. Every single one of us here today is at various levels of spiritual healing. And they're all different. But our God is the great physician. Hey, keep coming. Keep hanging out. And why don't you reach out to somebody else that's astray and bring them around as well. Jesus might use you out there as a lifestyle to help people find spiritual healing and spiritual growth. Let's work and serve with Him as He builds His church. We read in our Scripture that the gates of Hades will not stand against His bride, the church. That's why I'm glad you're a part of this movement, because it is eternal. Most of all, let's be the church. Does that sound good? Let's be the church, as we read in Hebrews 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In our story in Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And He says, hey, who do people say the Son of Man is? Basically, He's saying, who do people say that I am? And they're just real honest with Him. They answer in verse 14, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah, others say one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked the most important question in verse 15. But what about you? It really doesn't matter what others say about Jesus Christ. What do you say about Jesus? And then comes this incredible profession of faith from Peter, the most important declaration that any person could ever make. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." He was making his statement of profession of faith. And then Jesus blesses him. And by the way, when He blesses him, He wasn't establishing the position of the Pope. He said to Peter, "I'm going to build My church on people who make professions of faith like this. And if you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you are in His family." What a privilege. God invites us to follow Him and to be a part of His faith family, the church. And I just want to ask you, as we close out this message today, have you made that commitment? That commitment to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. And here, I want to ask myself this question. Am I authentically following Jesus Christ? Not playing games, not trying to be somebody I'm not, not trying to look religious, being an authentic, genuine follower of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this, if you will do that, you're going to be weird in a good way. The Bible speaks about that. Our kingdom is an upside-down kingdom, and it doesn't follow the principles of this world. Are you willing to do that? If you do, you will always be in the minority. But in that minority, you will have the most blessed life in the universe. It is the ultimate. Amen. Father, God, leader, Lord, Savior, and even like we saw in the video earlier, friend, we are amazed by You. Thank You for inviting us to be Your bride in Your church, Your family. We don't deserve it at all. It's such a privilege. And God, we just confess, we don't live up to the standards. There's always something that needs to change. Maybe You're working on hearts and lives right now, showing us what needs to be different. But God, it's such a blessed life. Help us, yes, to be weird in a good way, a way that points others to You so that You will be glorified. Thank You for Your patience with us. We want You to be the leader of this church. You are our Lord. And we want to live a lifestyle of worship. And we also want to reach out as a lifestyle. Show us how we can do that. And it's through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. A lot of great things happening. Boy, what a wonderful celebration. So proud of our Builders for Christ teams this summer. Just curious, I know we just had a team return, but we've had several go. I guess the blue shirts give it away. A lot of blue shirts here today. But if you've participated in mission outreach with Builders for Christ this summer, just stand real quick for us. We want to see those of you that went and served in our body. Yeah. Awesome. Great job. Hey, we've got some blue shirts over there. Awesome. They didn't all just hang out in this one area. I heard some wonderful, wonderful reports of your service. We want you to know we are so proud of you. And look what we have on the horizon starting tonight with the kickoff celebration. I heard some, when I was changing to come back in here, I heard some kind of a strange accent. Was I dreaming or not a nightmare? Okay. Hey, it is going to be an awesome week. How many millions of lives have been changed because of this opportunity to love on kids? How many can serve? We have so many that are giving their time to serve. It's going to be a great time. But listen, the foundation is prayer. So would you please pray for this week that it'll be an awesome week as God does a great work? You heard earlier Lee mention a new Connections class starting for 20s and 30s people. And really, when I think of this, and I say this a lot, the church exists better in small groups than it does in larger gatherings. Boy, that's where the kingdom can really operate. So if you're not involved in a Connections class, I really invite you to do that. That's where you'll see the church in action there. So I want to ask you today, have you made that public profession of faith to say Jesus is the Christ, my Savior? If not, I hope you'll take that step today. Maybe you'd like to be a part of our body. Listen, we're not perfect. If you are, you're not going to fit. We mess up. But if God's leading you to come and grow with us and serve with us, we would love to have you as part of our body. If God's leading you to make any other decision, if you need prayer, we're here to help you. Why don't you stand with us as we prepare for our time? I also want to say a special welcome to our former interim pastor, Alan and Lou Ann Purdy, at the back, sitting at the back. Man, good to have you guys with us. We appreciate you worshiping with us. If you guys have come on board since they made their transition, God just used them in a mighty way here. And every once in a while, they get to come back and worship to check in on Weird Me. So glad to have you guys with us. As God is working in your life, speaking to you, we want you to know that we're here to serve you. Why don't you come as God speaks?